This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. With Halloween just a few short days away, it's a perfect time to seek out a story that truly sends that proverbial chill down your spine. Broken Monsters is by South African author Lauren Bewkes. It's crime, it's horror, it's a thriller, it's fantasy, and it is set in the streets of Detroit. Lauren Bewkes is with us now from her home in Cape Town, South Africa. Thanks for joining us, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lauren, this is a big, big book with a big, big cast, and you grab us right from page one with a stunningly awful crime set in Detroit. You're from South Africa, and of all the cities in the world in which to set Broken Monsters, why is it in Detroit?
Because Detroit is, like my hometown, Johannesburg, a city which is much maligned, and people want to reduce it to easy cliches about, you know, as a symbol of everything which is wrong with America or everything which is wrong with Africa. And Detroit is much more than that. It's a fascinating, very vibrant, alive, troubled city, and I really wanted to kind of get to the heart of it. It's kind of secretly my way of writing about Johannesburg again, because I think we have so many issues in common.
Give me a sense of what we share.
Well, you know, in South Africa, we like to think that we do crime and corruption and segregation the best, but you guys do a pretty good job out there. but it's also... It's also, you know, the vibrancy and the life and the art. There's a sense of hustle in Detroit, and I don't mean that in any bad way. I mean, people do what they have to get by, and there is kind of a very entrepreneurial spirit and a can-do spirit, which I think Detroit and Johannesburg have in common, where people are friendly because they're living, you know, in a situation which isn't necessarily the greatest, you know, the greatest situation with crime and, you know, foreclosures and all kinds of other stuff. But there is at the same time an incredible vibrancy and an incredible attitude and energy to the cities.
You know, Lauren, it's especially intriguing to us in Michigan looking at your view not only of Detroit, but your story takes us up north as well. What did you do to get such an authentic view of a city and state that's like 20-hour flight from your home in South Africa?
Well, I did fly out. I read all the books and I followed a lot of the Detroit blogs and websites. But I also did come out to the city on two different occasions, and I just talked to people. You know, I worked in a soup kitchen at NOAA for a day and spoke to people who came there to try and get the homeless perspective on the city. I hung out with artists. I had this great young photographer who was driving me around in a family funeral home van because that was the car he was able to borrow, and that was kind of the perspective I got on Detroit. And we went to all these great parties and Eastern markets, and we went to Hipster Beach and on Belle Isle and all kinds of interesting things. And I spoke to cops. I interviewed homicide detectives. I went into homicide with a box of donuts and walked them through my crime scenes and made them solve the crime. So it was really just talking to native Detroiters and really getting their perspective on the city.
Would you read us an excerpt from Broken Monsters? The excerpt I hope you'd read for us, is it's really right out of the gate of your book when you serve up that first murder and your lead character, a wonderful female detective, we're going to talk about her a little more, Gabriella, comes onto the scene. Could you read us the excerpt?
Absolutely. So this is from the first chapter called Bambi. Detective? The uniform says, because she's just standing there, staring down at the kid in the deep shadow of the tunnel, her hands jammed in the pockets of her jacket. She left her damn gloves in the car, and her fingers are numb from the chill wind sneaking in off the river. Winter baring its teeth, even though it's only gone November. Are you? Yeah, okay. She cuts him off, reading the name on his badge. I'm thinking about the adhesive, Officer Jones. Because mere superglue wouldn't do it, holding the pieces together while the body was moved. This is not where the kid died. There's not enough blood on the scene. And there's no sign of his missing half. Black, no surprise in the city. 10 years old, you'd guess. Maybe older if you factored in malnourishment and development issues. Say somewhere between 10 and 16. Naked. As much of him as there is to be naked. It's entirely possible the rest of him is wearing pants, with his wallet in the back pocket and a cell phone that won't have any minutes, but which will make calling his mama a hell of a lot easier, wherever the rest of him is. He's lying on his side, his legs pulled up, eyes closed, face serene. The recovery position. Only he's never going to recover, and those aren't his legs. Skinny as a beanpole, beautiful skin, even if it's gone yellow from blood loss. Pre-adolescent, she decides, No sign of acne. No scratches or bruises either, or any indication that he put up a fight or had anything bad happen to him at all. Above the waist. Below the waist is a different story. Oh boy, that's a whole other section of the bookstall. There is a dark gash right above where his hips should be, where he has been somehow attached to the lower half of a deer, hooves and all. The white flick of the tail sticks up like a jaunty little flag. The brown fur is bristled with dried blood. The flesh appears melted together at the seam. Officer Jones is hanging back. The smell is terrible. Plus, there's the gamey reek of the deer's scent glands. She pities the ME having to open up this mess. Better than the paperwork, though, or dealing with the goddamn media. Or worse, the mayor's office. Here, she offers, fishing a small red tub of lip gloss out of her pocket. Something she bought at the drugstore on a whim to appease her daughter. A candy-flavored cosmetic. That's sure to bridge the gap between them. It's not menthol, she says, but it's something. Thanks, he says grateful, which marks him out as an FNG, freaking new guy. He dips his finger in and smears a greasy balm under his nose, cherry-flavored snot. With sparkles in it, Gabby notices for the first time, but does not point out. Small pleasures. Don't get any on the scene, she warns him. No, no, I won't. And don't even think about taking any pictures on your phone to show your buddies. She looks around at the tunnel, with the graffiti that grows on bare walls in the city like plaque, the weight of the pre-dawn darkness, the lack of traffic. We're going to contain this. They do not remotely contain it.
That's author Lauren Bukes reading an excerpt from her latest novel, Broken Monsters, a horror, crime, suspense, fantasy story set in Detroit. You have quite a fascinating collection of characters, Lauren. Tell us more about Detective Gabriella Versado.
She's Latino, and she's relatively attractive, which makes her, in department slang, she's not just a twofer, which is, you know, a person of color. And a woman. She's actually a threefer because she's got her attractiveness going for her as well, which means that a lot of the other detectives are quite jealous of the fact that she's landed what, you know, appears to be a very high-profile case, and they think it's because of those factors. So she has to deal with a lot of kind of sexism and racism within the department and trying to show that she actually, you know, has earned this, absolutely, you know, with 18 years in homicide. So what's interesting about Gabby is that she's a single mom, recently divorced, to a 15-year-old daughter. And it's her relationship with her daughter which really drives a lot of the story. And the fact that her daughter is kind of getting into a lot of trouble online, catfishing for pedophiles. And it's the mother-daughter tension relationship which drives a lot of the story.
In fact, I got to point out here that the New York Times review of your book really praised the way that you drew the relationship between Gabby and her daughter, Layla. They note the current tendency of authors to portray teens as basically bottomless reservoirs of meanness and their parents hapless idiots. Do you have a teen daughter to kind of get that essence of the mother-teen-daughter relationship?
I have a six-year-old daughter, and I sometimes think that she's going on 16.
Yeah, that happens. But you really do give Layla's agility on the internet an important. It really does turn the internet into a character of its own, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and I think, especially after my last book, The Shining Girls, I cut it off in 1993 because it was about a time-traveling serial killer, and I just didn't want my heroine to be able to use the internet to solve the crime. But I miss the internet because the internet is so much a part of where I live my life, and so many of us live our lives, or at least part of our lives. And I really wanted to kind of explore that. And it was interesting because I, you know, some of the people I interviewed were Detroit teenagers who are at a theater school, Mosaic. And they talked about how if all the world's a stage, social media is the stage. And the rest of our lives is spent preparing to put on a show for that stage. And it was a very interesting dynamic in how teenagers experience social media right now and how, you know, we really are living in the age of the end of privacy. And we have to find a way to live with that.
Lauren, what draws you to horror, thriller, fantasy stories?
I don't know. I just have a dark and twisted mind. I think it's a good way of kind of exploring social issues. You know, and actually much more horrible things than anything I could ever make up happen every day. You know, there are just horrifying crimes against Everyone. You know, especially living in such a violent country as, you know, in society like South Africa, where we really do have terrible crime. Our national soccer captain just got shot over his cell phone fatally 2 days ago. And it's just devastating. And it's too hard to write about that. And it's too awful to write about that. So I think horror gives, it's like looking through a mirror or a glass darkly. It gives you one step removed, a way of looking at the issue in a way that makes it maybe more bearable, even while it makes it more horrible.
Well, as we look at Broken Monsters, what do you hope people take out of this book?
Well, you know, I think I write books because I am asking myself questions that I don't necessarily know the answer to. So I want people to think about art and the internet and the monsters we are within. And the title, you know, the title is thematic. We all have little broken parts in us. You know, we all have had horrible life experiences somewhere along the way. And it's how we find a way to live with that that makes us who we are. But it's also the fact that there are no monsters, you know, that even the monsters are broken. And I think I try to bring a lot of sympathy in for the killer, who is just a symptom of broken masculinity and thwarted ambition. And I really wanted to play with that and to look at what we are capable of, the good and the evil.
Lauren Bukes, her latest novel is Broken Monsters, and Lauren spoke with us from her home in Cape Town, South Africa. Lauren, it was great to meet you. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me on. I feel like I'm kind of back in Michigan even a little bit.
Come back anytime.
Thank you.